Start from the Mishnah towards the bottom of Mem Hey Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "Butzik shebesidkei ariva im yesh kizayis b'makom mecha chayiv levayer v'im lav butel b'miyuto." So the Mishnah presents the following halacha. Let's say I have a mixing bowl, and the mixing bowl has some cracks in it, and I want to basically kind of glue together the mixing bowl. So I decide to use some dough to glue it together. So the question is, do I need to get rid of that dough during the process of bir chametz before Pesach? So the Mishnah says it depends. If you have at least a kizayis of dough in one part of the mixing bowl, that's considered significant enough that you have to get rid of it. But if you don't have a kizayis of dough in any given place in the mixing bowl, then it's just batel, and then you're fine, and you don't have to get rid of it. Then the Mishnah says, "V'chein le'inyan hatuma imak b'dal of chotzeitz v'imrotze b'kiyumo harehu ka'arev." And the Mishnah presents a similar halacha. The Gemara is going to clarify what this halacha means in a little bit. But the Mishnah says that when it comes to the halacha of toveling kalim, the same standards apply. We know, of course, that when it comes to tevila, so there's a problem of a chatzitza, right? For example, whenever you tovel a kli, you have to make sure all the stickers are removed and everything else is off of the kli, so it doesn't act as a chatzitza. So the question is, what if I had this dough in my kli and I wanted to tovel the kli? So would that dough constitute a chatzitza? So it depends. If you're makbet about it, if you don't like the fact that the dough is there, that obviously will be a chatzitza. But if you don't, but if not only do you not care about it, but you actually dafka want the dough there because it's keeping the mixing bowl together, so then the Mishnah says that's considered part of the mixing bowl and it's not going to constitute a chatzitza. Okay, so the Gemara clarifies, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu el b'makom she'ein asuyin lechazik, aval b'makom she'asuyin lechazik, eino chayev levayer." So this is version number one of the Gemara. In the first version, the Gemara makes the following inference. The Gemara says that the only time that we say that you have to get rid of the dough that's in the mixing bowl is in a situation where it's ein asuyin lechazik, where it's not really doing anything to fortify or strengthen or keep the mixing bowl together. But if it is asuyin lechazik, if it is there to keep the bowl together, then you do not have to get rid of it. The Gemara infers from this that if it's less than a kizayis of dough, but it's not asuyin lechazik, meaning it's not there to keep the bowl together, then you have to get rid of it. In other words, what the Gemara is basically saying in this version is that it's qualifying the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that you need to get rid of the dough if it's less than, in other words, if it's less than a kezias, then you're fine, that's only true if it's a suyin lechazik, if it's there to keep the bowl together. If it's not there to keep the bowl together, if it's just there stam, then even less than a kezias, you still have to get rid of it. That's the first version. Then the Gemara says, "Ika demasni la seifa, v'im lav batel b'miyuto, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Shmuel, lo shanu ala b'makom ha'asu lechazik, aval b'makom she'en asu lechazik, chayev levayer, michlal The second version says the exact opposite. The second version comments on the second part of the statement of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if it's less than a kezias of dough in the mixing bowl, then it's batel. So now the Gemara says that's only true if it's asur lechazik. That's only true if the dough is there to hold the bowl together. But if it's not asur lechazik, then it sounds like from the Gemara that even if I have a kezias of dough, which the Mishnah sounded like you need to get rid of, but if that kezias of dough is there to keep the bowl together, then according to the second version of the Gemara, that's okay, and you do not need to get rid of it. Okay, so then the Gemara...
Rabbi, talking about this mixing bowl, because it might be containing chametz, depending on the size.
Right.
Are they implying here that you can actually then perhaps use that mixing bowl on Pesach?
Yeah, for sure. Again, we'll see as we go on in this knot, at a certain point, the dough becomes less like dough and more part of the mixing bowl. We'll see as we go on what stage exactly that happens.
Rabbi, it's not exactly the subject, but to be over at Balyegra,
The simple answer is any amount. The simple answer is that there's not really a shear for that, for violating Bal Yira, Bal Yimatze. But probably. But here we're talking about a slightly different issue, because here, in other words, the question that we're dealing with in the Mishnah here is, what is the function of this dough? Is the dough basically just dough? It's basically chametz? Or no, it's just basically glue for your mixing bowl. That's essentially the issue at hand here in the Mishnah. Okay, so now the Gemara tries to support each of these versions. The Gemara says, Tani Kalishna Kama, Tani Kalishna Basra, Tani Kalishna Kama, Butzik Shebesidke Areva, Bemakom Ha'asu Lechazik, Eno Chotzeitz Ve'eno Over, Uvemakom She'en Asu Lechazik, Chotzeitz Ve'over. over. Bamedvar mamurim bichazayis avol befachos mikazayis afilu b'makom she'in asoy lechazik eino chotetz ve'eino over. So again, this brisa, this first brisa, essentially supports the first version of the Gemara, because the brisa says that when you have dough in the cracks of the mixing bowl, so if the purpose of the dough is lechazik, is to fortify the bowl, to keep it together, so then that does not constitute a chatzitza when you want to tovel the bowl. And number two, you also don't violate the isser of Bali Rabbi Matzah, because it's not really dough, it's more like glue for the mixing bowl. However, if it's ain asur lechazik, if it's not there to keep the bowl together, then that would constitute a chatzitza, and you would violate the isser of Bali Rabbi Matzah. However, the Gemara says that's only true if you have at least a kezias of dough, but if you have less than a kezias of dough, even if that dough is not there to keep the bowl together, that would not constitute a chatzitza, and you would not violate the isser of Bali Rabbi Matzah. So this seems to be exactly like the first version of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Asani Kalishna Basra, Batzik Shebesidke Areva, Bemakom Ha'asui Lechazik Eino Chotetz Ve'eino Over, Bemakom She'eino Asui Lechazik Chotetz Ve'over, Bamedvar Mamurim Befachos Mikazayas, Avo Bechazayas, Afilu Bemakom Ha'asui Lechazik Chotetz Ve'over. And the second Brisa says basically the exact same thing as the second version of the Gemara, which is that generally speaking, something which is there Lechazik to fortify the bolt, to keep it together, normally is not a problem. However, the Gemara says this is only true when it's less than a kezias, but if it's a kezias, even if it's asur lechazik, even if it's there to hold the bowl together, that would still constitute a chatzitza for the purposes of tevilas kelim, and it would still cause one to violate the isur of Bali Rabbi Matzah. So the obvious problem now is, the Gemara says, kashin ahadadeh. We have two contradictory brisos. How do we know which brisa is correct? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravuna, same kilta mikame chamirta. Ravuna says, delete the more lenient brisa in favor of the more stringent one. So in other words, basically what Ravuna is saying is, you have to be machmir here. So in other words, you have to be machmir in both directions, which basically means that even if you have less than a kezias, but it's not a suyin lechazik, you have to get rid of that. And if you have more than a kezias, even if it is a suyin lechazik, you also have to get rid of that. So the Gemara asks, Rav Yosef Amar, Tanai Shakal Me'alma, Tanai Hid, San Yahapas She'ipsha, Chayiv Levayr, Mipnei Sheroi L'shocha Ka'o L'chamea B'kama Isos Achirus. Rav Yishon Ben Elazar Omer, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, B'mitku Yemes La'achila, Aval Kofes Se'or She'yichta Li'yeshiva Batla, Midu Amar Yishon Ben Elazar Batla, Michlal Desana Kama Sover Lo Batla, Alma Kasover Kol Kizayis Afal Gavzim Mevata Lo Batil. So comes Rav Yosef and says, what right do we have to just say, oh yeah, let's be machmir, let's ignore the Brisa, which is being lenient, because he says what you're effectively doing is that you're ignoring a machlokes tanoim. There is already a documented machlokes about this very issue. The Brisa discusses the following case. I have bread that has turned moldy. And the question is, do I need to get rid of moldy bread in other words, before Pesach? So the Gemara quotes a machlokes. According to the Tana Kama, you still have to get rid of the moldy bread. Why? Because he assumes that bread or that yeast or that leaven can still be used to cause other dough to turn into chametz, and therefore, since it still has some kind of functionality, you have to get rid of it according to the Tana Kama. However, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that would only be true that you have to get rid of it if it still is theoretically able to be eaten, if it hasn't completely, you know, turned rotten or spoiled. But let's say, for example, I have a piece of dough and I decided the dough has become rock hard, it's completely not edible anymore, there's no way you can make it into bread, so you decide instead to take this dough and make it into a chair, into a seat. So now the Gemara says you take your dough, which is rock hard, and you say, you know what, I'm going to make this into a chair. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says at that point it's no longer called dough, much like we were talking about earlier with the dough in the cracks of the mixing bowl, where it's essentially just a type of glue. So according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, once you declare this dough to be like a chair, like a seat, it effectively loses the status of the dough. Now the Gemara points out, however, that this idea that I can nullify the status of the dough and effectively make it into a chair where, you know, obviously it doesn't require beer or chametz, that seems to only be an option according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But the implication is that according to the Tana Kama, this method would not work. It sounds like according to the Tana Kama, even if I said that my dough is now a chair, it sounds like that's not going to work. So what do you see from that? The Gemara says, you see from here that whenever you have at least a kezias of dough, even if you've declared it batel, it's meaningless according to the Tana Kama, because this method of, you know, basically nullifying your dough and making it into a chair was only invoked according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but not according to the Tana Kama. So the Gemara says, how do you explain that? So the Gemara says,
isn't it true that once it's not really
So that's another issue. We're going to talk about that a little bit soon in the Gemara. Also, whether that standard is accurate or not. That's a machlokas in the Gemara. How inedible does the food have to become for it to no longer qualify for the Isra by Rabbi Lot? So we'll see that as we go on. Okay, so the Gemara explained.
Yeah. The parameter of not having enough. In other words, it's chomes and it's holding the fold together.
Right.
Even though you don't consider it, edible or part of it, you consider it part of the fold.
So that's exactly right. So that's exactly part of the issue here. Again, part of the issue of this Gemara is trying to figure out at what stage do we look at this dough and say this is no longer dough. This is now glue. This is now a chair. This is now something else. Once you've transformed the dough into being something else, then it doesn't matter that you're getting hanah because it's not dough. It's not chametz anymore, right? So that's exactly the issue in this Gemara is trying to figure out: is it based on quantity? Is it based on how you're using it? That's part of the issue of this Gemara and the Mishnah. That we've been trying to figure out. Okay, so the Gemara now says, "Amar le Abaye taratz bechazayis, pachos mikazayis mitaratz." So Abaye responds and says that okay, you've explained a case where you have at least a kazayis. In other words, we've just explained that according to the Tanakhama, when you have at least a kazayis of dough, there is no method to be mevatel that dough. You can't just declare it to be a chair or something like that. But the problem is, what if you have less than a kazayis? Because remember, Rav Huna started this Gemara by saying, "Let's just ignore the Makel Brisa, let's follow the Machmir one," and that goes in two directions. One of those directions is to say that even if I have less than a kezias, but if it's not a Suyin Lechazik, if it's not being used to fortify the mixing bowl, then I have to get rid of that. But the question is why? In other words, this notion that according to the Tanakhama, I can't be Mevatel the dough, that seems to only be true if it's at least a kezias. What about if the dough is less than a kezias? So the Gemara says, you're right, Elohav the Hav, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Hiva Lokashia, Habim Kom Lisha, Hashalobim Kom Lisha. The Gemara says, in reality, both of these brisos are reflecting the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the difference about whether you can be mevatel the dough simply depends on which part of the mixing bowl the dough is located. So if the dough is located in a place where you normally need dough in the mixing bowl, that dough is not subject to bittul because it's normal to find dough there. But if you found dough in a part of the mixing bowl that is abnormal to find dough on the outside, on the back of the mixing bowl, so then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say that yes, you can be mevatel that dough and transform it into something like a chair. So then the Gemara clarifies, "Amar Rav Ashi, lo tema shalobim komlisha agaba da agana, ela asifsa da agana." Rav Ashi just clarifies when Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that if I found dough not in the normal place for kneading it, that it's going to be nullified. So he says, don't think that only means the outside of the bowl, where obviously there's not going to be any dough there, but even the edge of the bowl, even the rim of the bowl is also included in that leniency. So the Gemara asks, "Shita, why would I have thought otherwise?" Of course, the edge of the bowl is not where you need the dough. You need the dough in the middle of the bowl. So the Gemara says, "No, mahu d'seima zimna da'atif mati lahasam kamash malan." One might have thought that since every once in a while, if you're pounding the dough very hard and the dough maybe spills over the edge a little bit, so one might have thought that the dough that's being kneaded gets to the edge of the bowl too. So the Gemara says, "No, you see from here kamash malan that it's not the case. That we're not concerned about the dough on the edge of the bowl. That dough is in fact subject to bittul." Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar." So comes Rav Nachman in the name of Rav and Paskins like Rishon ben Elazar, which again basically means that this dough is in fact subject to bittul. I can declare the dough to be a chair or whatever it is, and therefore bittul is going to work. So the Gemara asks, "Ini, is that really true?" V'ha'amar Rav Yitzchak Barashi Amarav im tach paneha betid batla tach in lo tach lo. The problem is that in this brisa it sounds like the only time that you can be mevatel that dough and declare it to be a chair, for example, is if you've coated the surface of the dough with something like mortar or cement. So because there, at least, it's clear that you're no longer, considering this to be dough. The implication, of course, is that if you did not coat the outside of the dough with cement, it sounds like you have no right to be mevatel the dough, which is against what we just said before. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ma'am de masneha, lo masneha. The Gemara says, you're right. These two brisos that were taught are mutually exclusive. They were taught by two different Amoraim, and therefore, the one who taught the original brisa, where bittul works according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, in all cases to make dough into a chair, did not teach the second statement that qualified that and said that no, that's only the case when you're coating the dough with cement. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ika da Amre, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, in Halacha Kerem Shimon Elazar, to Amar Rav Yitzchak Barashi Amar Rav, and Toch Paneh Betid Batla. In the second version of the Gemara actually paskins against Rav Shimon Elazar because of this very brisa, because the brisa that we just cited a second ago that says that only when you coat the dough with cement, that's when it's subject to bittul. That brisa implies that if it's not coated with cement, then it's not subject to bittul, which would again lead us to believe that in general we do not paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar. So we're almost getting contradictory impressions about who's correct in terms of this psak. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chatzoy Zesim Mechutcha Batzik Binan, Rowen, Kol She'ilu Yinotel Hachut V'nitol Nimo Chayev Levayer, V'yim Lav Eino Chayev Levayer. So come to the Gemara and says the following. Let's say I have two half a kezesim of dough, which again, a full kezesim of dough is going to be a problem. So I have two half a kezesim of dough, but the two half a kezesim are connected by a string of dough. So the question is, am I going to violate Ba'ira Ba'imatzeh based on that? So the Gemara says, it depends. If when I pick up one of the halves of the, one of the half kezesim of dough, the whole thing comes up as one, then obviously they're basically connected, and that's considered a full-fledged kezesim, and therefore I would violate the Isser. But if not, if I'm only picking up one half at a time, let's say, then I would not violate the Isser. So the Gemara clarifies, Amar Ula, Lo Amran Ela Ba'areva, Aval Bebayis Chayev Levayer, Mai Taima, Dezimnin Dechanish Lu Venafli Gabe Hadadi. So comes the Gemara and qualifies the statement and says, this distinction about whether you could pick up both Kizesim at once or not is only a distinction when it comes to the case of the mixing bowl that we were talking about earlier. But when it comes to finding Chametz in your house, then even if they're not connected at all, it's still a problem. Why? Because there's a chance that some of that Chametz may fall next to the other half of Kizayis somewhere in your house, which would cause you to violate the Yisr. Then the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Ba'u b'ma'arava, Ba'yis va'aliyah mahu, Ba'yis va'achsadra mahu, Shnei batim zelif nimizeh mahu, Teku. So in Eretz Yisrael, they raise three variations of this question about what if I have a half a kezias in the main part of my house and a half a kezias in the attic, or a half a kezias in the main house and a half a kezias in the gazebo in front of my house. So I have a half a kezias in one house and another half a kezias in another house that's within the first house. So the Gemara leaves all these shilos unresolved in terms of whether you would violate the Yisra Bayer by Matzah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hapas She'ipsha, V'nifsala Milecho La'adam, V'hakelev Yocho La'ochla, B'taman Tumas Ochlin Mechabetza, So comes the Gemara and makes the following distinction. Again, this is the case that we were talking about earlier. This alludes to what Billy was mentioning before. The Gemara says, if I have bread that has started to turn moldy to the extent that it is no longer fit for human consumption, however, it is still edible enough for a dog to eat. So the Gemara makes the following statement, that first of all, assuming that the size of the bread is at least a kibitza, that bread could become tummy, because we know that the minimum shear for tumas ochlin, for food to become tame, is a kibetza. And additionally, the Gemara says that you can burn that bread together with something tame on Pesach. This is the whole discussion we had at the end of the first parak of Pesach. Remember about all the sugyas regarding Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. So the Gemara there was discussing the issues about burning tame truma with tahor truma on Erev Pesach for bir chametz. So the Gemara says that if it meets the proper shear and it's just inedible for human consumption, but it is still edible for a dog to eat, so the Gemara says that you can still burn that with, let's say, Tamei Truma, which is Chametz, on Erev Pesach. However, the Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Nasan Amru, Ein Amitama. Rabbi Nasan disagrees with this. Rabbi Nasan says that no, and that once the food becomes inedible, even for human consumption, even if it's still edible for a dog, it is no longer subject to becoming Tamei. So the Gemara now points out, Keman Azla Hadisnan, Klal Amru B'taharos, Kol HaMiyuchad L'Ochel Adam Tamei Achi Yipasa Milacho LaKelev, Keman Deloki Rabbi Nasan. Obviously, this Mishnah or it's really a Tosefta in Maseches Taharos that lays out this general principle when it comes to Taharos that says that anything which is edible for human consumption is able to become tame until the point where it's no longer edible even for a dog. That Mishnah clearly does not follow Rabbi Nasan, because according to Rabbi Nasan, once a food becomes inedible for human consumption, it is no longer subject to tuma, even if it's still edible for a dog to eat. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Areva sa'abdanin shenasan lesocha kemach, toch shlosha yamim chayev levayer, kodem shlosha yamim eino chayev levayer. Again, along the lines of chametz in a mix mixing bowl, but in this case, it's slightly different. Here, let's say, for example, my job is to be a tanner. I tan hides to make them into leather. So part of the tanning process is that you have to put flour onto the skins to make them into leather. So let's say I'm a person who tans hides, and I go ahead and I put flour into the mixing bowl. So the question is, you know, in other words, the question is, how far in advance of Pesach, if I put those into the mixing bowl, is that flour going to pose a problem? So the Gemara says, if you put the flour in more than 3 days in advance of Pesach, then it's not a problem, because once Pesach rolls around, the flour is going to be completely inedible anyway. But if you put it in within 3 days of Pesach, then you're going to have to get rid of it when Pesach rolls around. However, Amar Rab Nasan b'med dvar mamurim shelo nasan l'socha oros avol dasan l'socha oros afilu toch shlosha ein chayv levayer Amar Rava halacha k'Rab Nasan afilu yom echad va'afilu shah achas. However, the Gemara says that once you've put the actual animal skins or the leather, the hides, into the flour, that even if you put the flour there less than 3 days before Pesach, even if you put it there an hour before Pesach, then it's fine, because once you put the hides in there, the flour becomes disgusting and becomes completely inedible. Okay, then fine. So then the Mishnah told us, V'chein le'inyin tuma imakbed al chotetz v'imrotze b'kiyumo harehu kareva. So if you remember, the Mishnah seemed to link together these two halachos, the first of which we were discussing earlier about putting the dough in the cracks in the mixing bowl, about whether you have to get rid of that, and the second halacha about whether that dough would constitute a chatzitza if you want to tovel that mixing bowl. So the Gemara asks, "Mi dami hastam b'shiura talimosa hacha b'kpida talimosa." So the Gemara says, "How could the Mishnah possibly compare these two halachos? They're completely different, because the halacha regarding balyura balyimatze for the dough in the cracks of the mixing bowl is something based on a shear, if you have a kizayis or if you don't have a kizayis. Whereas when it comes to whether the dough constitutes a chatzitza for tvilas kalim, that's a personal preference issue. If you care about the dough, then it's a problem. If you don't care about the dough, then it's not." So those two things are completely different. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Yehuda, ima ule inyan hatuma enokein. So in other words, comes Rav Yehuda and says that the Mishnah actually meant to contrast these two halachos, not to compare them. Really, what the Mishnah really should have said was, is that the second halacha regarding whether the dough is a chatzitza is actually radically different than the first halacha regarding whether the dough is going to pose a problem of bal yira and bal yimatze. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le abai hovachein le inyan tuma katanu. That's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said v'chein le'inyan tuma, which sounds like the Mishnah is comparing the two halachas. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amar Abaye, hachi kamar, v'chein le'inyan siruf tuma b'thesach uv'shar yemos hashana ika plukta. The Gemara says that really, these two cases, in other words, what we thought were two completely unrelated halachos, is actually one halacha that relates to tuma that actually has very little to do with Pesach per se. It happens to be that Pesach slightly influences the ramifications of tuma. What does that mean exactly? Hechidami, could go into ika pachos mikabetza ochlin, v'nogu b'hai batek, b'fesach di isuro chashu mitztarev, b'shar yemos hashana de b'kpeina tal yemosa, imak b'dala mitztarev, imrotze b'kiyumo harehu ka'areva. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that, really, let's say I have less than a kibetza of food. So again, as you pointed out before, in order for food to become tame, it needs to be minimally the size of a kibetza. But this, let's say I have 3/4 of a kibetza of dough, but then it goes ahead, or food, and then it touches this other dough. So the Gemara says that it depends what time of year this is happening. On Pesach, so that dough is considered to be chashu because of the Isra Balyira Balyimatze, which means that this is going to become tame and pose a problem in the realm of tovaling your kli. However, when it comes to the rest of the year, where that small amount of dough doesn't really mean anything, then all that's going to matter, the only thing that really factors in, is whether or not you're makbid. So if you're makbid about it, then it's going to pose a problem in terms of a chatzitza. If you're not makbid about it, then it's not. So in other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is that it's combining the two halachos of the Mishnah and saying that they're really one halacha. It's really a question about whether this dough constitutes a chatzitza. It happens to be that at different times of the year, that may vary. That may change depending on whether you view the dough as being chashiv or not. So now the Gemara asks, Maskif lo Rava, mi katari mitztarif, v'hachotzitz katari. So now Rava questions this pshat even further. Rava says, how can one suggest that the Mishnah is talking about a question about whether the dough combines with other dough? That's not the theme of the Mishnah. As we already pointed out, the Mishnah was discussing whether the dough constitutes a chatzitza, not whether the dough combines with other food to create tuma. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amarava v'chein lahalos tahara la'ariva. We're talking about a scenario of making the mixing bowl tar. What does that mean? Hechidami could go into itame hachariva uvayla atbulei bepesach di yisuro chashav chotzeitz v'lo salkala tevila v'shari mos hashana b'kpeinat al yimosa imak b'dal chotzeitz imrotze b'kiyumo hareyu ka'ariva. I want to tovel in my mixing bowl, but I have dough in it. So on Pesach, that's a much more serious problem, because the dough on Pesach, because of the Isra Ba'ira, Ba'imatze, is more chashev, and therefore that will pose a chatzitza, that will constitute a chatzitza in terms of tovaling my kli. Whereas the rest of the year, it only depends on whether I care about it or not, whether I'm makbid about it. So then the Gemara asks again, Maskifla Rapap, Mikotani, V'chein Le'inyin Tahara, Ha Le'inyin Tumakotani. But again, that's not what the Mishnah is discussing. The Mishnah was not discussing how to make your bowl tahor, it was discussing how to make it tameh in the first place. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Amarav Papa, V'chein Le'inyin Lahore Tumalari. We're talking about how to make the bowl tameh. What does that mean? Heichidami, if you go into Naga Sheretz Bahai Batzek, Bethesach di Isturo Chashav Chotzeitz Velo Nachsa Latuma, V'shar Yemos Hashana, Devik Peda Tal Yemosa, and Machbet Lav Chotzeitz, and Rotze Bekiyum Ohari Okari. So in this final pshat of the Gemara says something which actually almost sounds counterintuitive. The Gemara is trying to determine whether this bowl has become tummy. Let's say, for example, a sheretz touched, let's say, the dough that was in the bowl. So, in other words, on Pesach, when that dough is more chashu because of the Isra Bai Rabbi Matzeh, it actually prevents the bowl from becoming tummy, because that dough is so chashu because of the Isra Bai Rabbi Matzeh that it prevents the sheretz from spreading tumah to the bowl. The rest of the year, however, it simply depends on whether you're makbid about the dough being in the mixing bowl or not. That's really the issue at hand. Okay.